This morning's scripture reading will be found in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than yours.
Thank you, Nico. If I was to title my talk this morning, it would have to be called, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me. The song that we used to sing quite often from the Red Book, and we may touch on the verses in that later. But to begin with, I've got some questions I need to ask you. And I also need you to hear me out till we get done, and you better pay close attention, otherwise you could be, if you only hear half of what I say, you may be ready to stone me before you're ready to get out of here. So, my first question is, what did Jesus look like? Was he short? Was he tall? Average height? Was he thin? Was he overweight? Or was he average weight? Was he handsome? Was he ugly? Or was he just an average Joe? How many of you have seen pictures that man has created, portraits of Christ? Or if you've seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ, the actor that portrayed Christ in there was a handsome man. And man's depiction of Christ, as the portraits that we see hanging in different people's homes and whatever, are of a man that is a handsome man. And my next question is, if you found out that Jesus looked more like a homeless bum, would you still be willing to follow him? Does looks matter to you on who you follow? Now, when we are in our younger years growing up, and we pick our friends. Sometimes there are some people that may have a tendency to pick their friends according to how they dress, how handsome or pretty they are, or how cool they are. And when we go to pick out a girlfriend or boyfriend, it often starts or is initiated by a physical attraction. And hopefully we look deeper within the person once that physical attraction is past, that we look for something deeper than that. When we look back at the verses in Isaiah 55 that was just read to you, we are told and reminded that my thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways. The things that man looks for in other men are totally different than what God looks for in us. Can you imagine Jesus using the same scenario that we just related to as kids in school sometimes do on who they pick their friends? Would Jesus ever use that kind of qualifications? Next question. So it seems as though man's eyes and God's eyes, we do have a tendency to discriminate. So the next question is, will there be short people in heaven? We do have a tendency to look down on them, make jokes about them. I don't think there'll be any short people in heaven. So what do you think, since I say no? Please hear me out. Do you think there'll be any blondes in heaven? I have my doubts. Please hear me out. Will there be any people of color? Will there be beautiful people, or just will there be ugly people in heaven? Will there be people with other kind of social problems? Will they be in heaven? Will there be women in heaven? I have my doubts. Please hear me out. Will there be people from Missouri make it to heaven? Yes. Will this farm boy live through the night? Maybe. Will there be maimed people with no arms or no legs in heaven? Will there be blind people in heaven? Will there be poor people? Will there be rich people? And if it mattered to God what our physical bodies looked like, wouldn't He have made us all look alike? I think in that regard, since all of us are different, we should consider the fact that it really doesn't matter to God what your body looks like. It only matters to man, because man's ways are different than God's ways. We choose our friends, those we associate with, sometimes because of their outward appearance. God doesn't care. In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 29 and 30, I hope to address the women issue a little bit. I'd ask for a raise of hands, but I don't want to get anybody else in trouble except myself. As far as who believes there might be women in heaven. Okay, it's Matthew 22, verse 29 and 30. Jesus had just been questioned by the Sadducees about whose wife this woman would be after having been married to seven men. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." So, technically, if we are going to be as the angels, there will be no men, and there will be no women. Our spirit that makes us what we are within will be in heaven. So the Lord doesn't care if you're a blonde or if you're a brunette. He doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. Because the body to God and the way that God thinks, the body is a temporary dwelling point. There is no glorying to be had in the body that you've been given. Whether you think of yourself as being pretty, being tall, being smart, or whatever, it was given to you by God to see whether you could handle it. And if you were given a body that is lacking an arm or lacking a leg or is blind, the Lord wasn't concerned about that because He knew it would be temporary. He knew that you wouldn't be taking that body to heaven. Because we will be made as angels. The spirit that makes this body stand up before you today, the spirit is what I'm trying to save. The spirit is what wants to be with God. The body yearns for physical things. The body yearns for the things this earth will create. True change is going to come. And it won't come from either man that's going to be elected president. The change that you want to see, God will make happen. That was the only change that's going to matter. Have you ever noticed when man picks their leaders, there are always people that, as a rule, seem to be have physical appearances that are presentable or desirable to the public? And is that any different than it was in the time of Israel when they wanted to be like the other countries around them and they wanted a king? Who'd they pick? The Lord gave them somebody to fulfill their physical desires because they were rejecting God. So he gave them what they wanted. He gave them a tall, dark, handsome man. And he wasn't exactly the kind of leader that they needed. And when you think about the way that man picks other people, and as we heard during the campaigning that John Edwards had a $400 haircut to maintain his personal appearance, and the vanity that man has in making himself look good to others, what is it all about? So let's go back to the question that I asked originally. What about Christ? What did he look like? Do we have any answers? Let's turn back to Isaiah. See if we can find any predictions. If we turn back to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, this is a wonderful chapter because it reveals years before Christ ever came what to expect. And you'll be told right away what to expect here in this chapter. I'm going to read this to you and see if you can form your own opinion. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I ask you to think back now about the verses that was first read to you in verse 8 and 9 of chapter 55, right after this. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. God never picked the kind of appearance for Christ that man would have picked, because God did not want anyone to be a follower of Christ for what he looked like. God's approach, God's ways, God's thoughts were totally different than the way man picks who he chooses to follow. How important is it to God that we worship for the right reasons? So important that he picked a lowly appearance for his own son. So how can somebody make a song of let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me if he was no one to be desired upon looking at? The only answer to that is it has to be the kind of person he was within, if outward appearance was nothing for him to desire. So the beauty that the Lord seeks will never be found upon the surface. The beauty has to come from within. It takes a degree of faith to love somebody that you don't really have a picture of, you don't see. Christ tells us that in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 37, that if you love family more than me, you are not worthy of me. And he says, if you deny me, I will deny you. So as we go through our daily lives and we have opportunities to tell others that we are Christians, don't deny it. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, we are told that he that doeth the will of my Father is the one that can expect a reward. We also have another song that we occasionally sing in the Blue Book. It's number 308. It's called None of Self and All of Thee. And it talks as if through those four verses, as a person starts out, how he is centered upon himself. And the word of God touches him and he says, some of self, some of thee. And as he comes around more and grows in the spirit, he says, more of self and less of thee. And finally, he makes a surrender and gives himself up to God and says, none of self and all of thee. Have you reached a point yet of letting go of the things in this world that are holding on to you? Have you ever thought you'll reach the day that you'll let God be in total control? After all, I have another question for you. Do you realize it's really not even your own body, this physical body that we're in? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. See what we're reminded of there. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's been loaned to me, my body. Someday I'll have to turn it in. And the Lord will ask me how I used it. And he'll have a whole page of questions for me. Why did you do this and why did you not do that? Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 3, give a message that we need to be reminded of also. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord gives us life. He gives us a body to see if we can be generous enough to give back. Like many others that have endured the stresses of this year, I've had a stressful year. So much so that I felt very unstable earlier this year, and I asked not to be put on the program to speak for a while. I've been speaking on Sunday morning for 35 years, and this is the longest time I've ever gone between lessons. And I'm not proud of it. I let my problems become bigger than me. I I had a difficult time dealing with my dad's death. Even though in the end, that's what we was praying for, because we knew that's what was best for him. With the weather we've had this year, by the end of June, I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. I was starting to develop a case of shingles. I'd get up in the morning after showering at night, and my hands and my feet would be itching so bad I'd have to take my socks back off and totally scrub again, because I was on the verge of losing control of my emotions. During a 7-month period from first part of December to the first part of July, I went and had 4 weeks where I got a 40-hour weekend because of the weather. I'm not used to being shut down and not being able to work. And I had a lot of commitments, and I had to borrow money this spring to live off of. And I do not tell these things to you to have you have sympathy on me, because there are many people much worse off than what little I endured. But my point is that the stress that I had, I let have more of an impact than I should have if I'm a Christian. So I ask you to forgive me during this period of time where I failed to let the beauty of Jesus shine from within me. Because my faith should have been stronger than to let these worries have this much of an impact on me. And I think I failed to remind myself of the comfort of reading scriptures like the 23rd Psalm, which was in part of what Brother Mark mentioned there at the Lord's table. And I believe change is coming to our country, no matter which one of these men get elected president. And it's not the kind of change that either one of them want. And I also believe that life may become more challenging for most of us. And the time that lays ahead of us, we will need to keep scriptures of comfort close by, songs that will remind us in our hearts, such as the one of letting the beauty of Jesus within me shine. And we, I believe, will need to lean and help each other more than this generation has maybe seen before. We need to be prepared. Approximately 25 years ago, my dad come and told me, he says, "David, I've got a jar back here on this pallet of cement blocks on the farm. I'm really worried about the banks, and I'm putting some of my money back here, and I just want you to know where it's at in case something happens to me." Well, we're seeing some of those times. At that time when Dad told me that, I didn't say anything to criticize him. I knew he was always conservative and had lived through the Depression and had made a big impact. But some of our banks have failed because of bad decisions of man. And it could get worse, but I do not want to spend any more time talking about this in church, other than to remind us to be prepared that whatever stresses come your way, they don't drag you down, such as the stress that I allowed to drag me down earlier this year. And if I can only be happy and feel like it's a good day if the Cubs win, I'm going to have a long, miserable life. And if I can only be happy and have a good day if the Hawkeyes win, I'm going to have just about as many bad days as good days. And the same thing can be said if I'm dependent upon the Cyclones to give me a good day, because they're just made up of kids trying to do their best, and sometimes they win and sometimes they don't. And if I can only be happy if I can keep this job that I got, then my heart's in the wrong place. And if I can only be happy and have a good day, if I continue to live in the house that I have, then my heart's in the wrong place. If I can only be happy and have a good day, if I can have this car to continue driving, my heart's in the wrong place. And if I can only be happy if I have a certain thing to eat every day, as the verse says, my God is, my belly is my God. I wish I had written that verse down, but it's a reminder that the consumption of physical things can consume us spiritually also. We will have a lot of bad days if our heart's desire is only in seeing these physical things stay present in our daily life. Because man will let you down and things will never satisfy. Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verse 10 says, he who has silver will never be content with it. He'll want more. And we have to look beyond to a goal that no one can take away, regardless of what our country's economy is doing. And it won't be found among men, won't be found in this world, other than the satisfaction we get in helping others. That is a reward within itself in this world. But letting the beauty of Jesus be seen in me is the most that I can hope for in pleasing God in my daily life. But the true satisfaction of change will only come when we get to see God. And for that to happen, we must be willing to do His will instead of our own. Matthew 7, verse 21. Ecclesiastes is full of things that Solomon told us that he gave himself to do and found that all the physical things of life were without lasting reward. And so he summed up the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 by saying, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And now it's your opportunity to analyze your relationship with God. And as we offer this invitation song, if you need to work on it, we'll give you that chance as we stand and sing.